I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I wanted to talk some football, and I had a great time last week talking with Tiki Barber and David Deal on their show on CBS Sports Radio. So I thought I would invite David onto the show because, you know, he's local. He joins me now on the Alpamonte 4 hotline. Alpamonte 4, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. And now the former Giants offensive lineman joins me here on The Score. What's up, David?
I didn't know you had chops like that to bring me in with some of your own singing of the CBS songs.
Hey, man, I'm a one-man band. I do a show by myself. I got to be able to sing and tap dance and do all sorts of stuff on the show. So it's what we do. All right, I got questions for you, sir. You ready?
Bring them, my man. Bring them. You know, I always love talking to the people back home in my hometown of Chicago, as always.
All right, well, here's the first thing. My producer, Tony, said you got to ask him about offensive linemen and weight. So I go to daviddeal.com. I look at the picture of you on daviddeal.com, and I go, does that guy play tight end or fullback? Because he definitely doesn't look like he played offensive lineman. How much weight did you lose after you stopped playing, and how quickly did the weight come off?
You know, usually when I was playing inside, when I was playing guard, I would play around 319, and when I'd play tackle, I was in between 309 and 311. As of this morning, I currently weigh 262 pounds, and you know, after starting over a decade in the NFL and starting 164 games in the NFL trenches, I mean, you need to do what you have to do to take all that stress and that wear and tear, you know, off your knees, your hips, your back. And, you know, when I retired after 11 seasons from the Giants, I was the oldest guy in the locker room, and I was 33 years old. And, you know, the fact that I'm a proud father to my daughter, Addison, you realize that your football life compared to the rest of your life is so much bigger, and you have to make those changes. The minute that I retired in 2014, you know, I started, which I'm a still advocate for. You know, I always get on my Peloton bike, and then actually I was just back in May for my buddy who opened up Yoga 2.0, my buddy Sean Jacob, who I grew up with, one of my best friends from Brother Wright. So I did that stuff so that when I got all those workouts and I started shedding the weight, I didn't have the impact on those things like I did as a player. So, you know, that's the attitude I like to have now is you know, looking like you have a great suit on, but you still have a face for radio when you're a TV guy and a former offensive lineman.
Well, what were you doing to keep weight on? Because it seems like what you were doing was, you know, that maybe that wasn't your natural weight. And so how did you keep all the weight on considering how much energy is expended throughout a game?
You know, for me, you know, my background in basketball, that was my number one love. I didn't play football until I really got to high school, until Brother Rice. So when I was a freshman at the University of Illinois, I was only about 260, 265. And obviously playing, you know, offensive line, you need to gain that weight. And gradually, by the time I graduated my senior year from Illinois, I was about, probably about 305. But the thing for me is I always had a problem maintaining the weight. You know, I had to eat literally a meal every 2 hours, whether it was grilled chicken breast, brown rice, broccoli. And one of the things that I'm not really proud of is during the NFL season, especially when you're talking about August, September, October, when you're still dealing with the heat and the weather, if I was low those weeks in my weight, I would set my alarm on Wednesday and Thursday mornings at 3:30 a.m., I'd roll over, I'd drink a 500-calorie protein shake, and then go back to bed just so I was getting those calories and that intake to maintain my weight.
Man, that is crazy, but not unheard of. That's what offensive linemen have to do, and that's why you guys always look good afterwards. You see a lot of other players where they balloon up a little bit, but the offensive lineman, I see Tom Thayer once a week, and that guy looks like a wide receiver now.
Well, when you think about that and you think about the skilled position guys, you know, they're a lot of the times that gain the most weight because when they're running 1,000 routes a week and then going out there and playing in the games, you know, some of those guys can get away with eating McDonald's like some of them do. But the minute that you don't do that and you take those 1,000 routes out of your week and you're still thinking that you can have those eating habits and not change your body type, I mean, that's a complete fabrication. And I think that's something that you see with a lot of guys that are retired and are done playing. If they don't tackle that immediately right when they're done playing, it's one of the hardest things 3-4 years down the road to try to go back and to try to lose it.
The University of Illinois and Brother Rice's own David Deal joining me here on The Score. He works for CBS Sports Radio, CBS, and, of course, NFL on Fox. Last week when I was on with you guys, I brought something up, and I wish we would have had more time, but now that you're on my show, we do have more time. What doesn't the average person or the average observer, like someone like me, why don't we know about offensive line play, and what don't we know about offensive line play?
You know, one of the things that comes to offensive line play, if you've never played the position or if you've never studied it, it's hard for you to know exactly what's going on. Like, I honestly joke when people bring arguments to me about football and offensive line, and they use Pro Football Focus, because I don't think that is a legitimate standard for offensive line play whatsoever. Because when they're watching film, they don't know the line calls. They don't know how they switched up protections on whether they were going to the Mike or the Sam or the Will linebacker, who the tight end or running back was responsible. And for me, you know, the one thing that I always tell people is that I've always watched the game in a different lens, and as an offensive lineman, you have to, because we're the only guys out there that never know where the football is at. Think, the football, the running back's running the football, it's behind you. The quarterback's throwing it or moving around in the pocket, it's behind you. You gauge what's taking place behind you on the reaction of the defense, on where they're moving, where they're going to, and that's going to tell you where the ball is at. So watching a football game, for me, I never look at the football watching it. I scan from the back end first. I look to see single high, two high. I look at the coverage. I scan all the way front to the defensive line and offensive line. And at the snap, I could take that split second and all the way go back to the back end of it, because I can already identify what's taking place in the trenches.
Okay, so give me a tip. The guy that's in their car, the lady that's at their desk right now that's listening to the show, what's a tip for watching offensive line play, something that you know because you've experienced that you can share with us?
You know, a lot of times, you know, when people hear it on TV, you hear the offensive line or the quarterback turn around, they walk to the line of scrimmage, and you'll hear, hey, 52's the mic or 50's the mic. Basically, what the quarterback is identifying is the middle of the defense. So that point forward, the offense knows, okay, this is the strength, this is the weakness, and now we can dictate who's going to be the Sam, Mike, or Will, or in a 3-4 defense, Sam, Mike, Jack, and Will. And then from there, as somebody at home watching that, from there, then you can tell, okay, the offensive line is sliding the protections to the strength to where the tight end and where that combination of wide receivers are, or they're sliding it opposite. If the offensive line is sliding to that strength, you know the running back or tight end or whoever it is doesn't have any responsibility for blitz pickup that side. They're identifying everything from the weak side to the safeties over. So I think that's something that people back home or anybody watching the game, once you hear that mic call, take a look at the offense, see where the strength of their formation is. That will help you identify who's in charge of who in regards to protection and blitz pickups.
Where would you like to see Mitchell Trubisky improve this season?
You know, the thing that obviously you know that they did in bringing in Matt Nagy was getting him more back into his North Carolina system. Shotgun, spread offense, getting the football out of his hands fast. That's something that you definitely need to do at any quarterback, and more importantly, when you're running this type of system. But the thing that they have to do is they've got to take much better care of their play-action passing and shots downfield. And obviously, when you do all those shifts, alignments, the personnel, the motions, and all the cadences, that allows you to theoretically have a more effective play-action passing game, which when you look at last season and the seasons before, when it comes to Mitchell Trubisky, there's really no separation between his effectiveness in play-action and the deep ball. That's something that's very, very interesting when you're watching quarterbacks, knowing that all it takes is that one step or two steps up by the linebacker or the safety to be able to get that shot downfield. And that's the other aspect that I think that he really needs to improve on. Obviously, he always can improve on his mechanics and his decision-making, because when he holds on to the ball too long, that's where you see him make those inaccurate throws. And that was part of the problem of the Chicago Bears' offense deep passing games last year. You look at some of the shortcomings, and it was from his ball placement. you know, when you think of Matt Nagy and you think of Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, they're the ones that are able to use that play-action passing game to get those big shots in that deep passing game downfield. One person that they've got to get more involved in this offense this year with that is Taylor Gabriel. You think about his last two seasons, that he had 12 yards per reception under Shanahan, and now going to Nagy, it's been the lowest since 2015 with only 10. So you have a player like that can excel, and especially when you have a running back like Tarik Cohen, who out of all running backs last year, he was fourth in lining up at a wide receiver position most out of all those guys. And when you think about somebody like Emmanuel Hall, who's an undrafted free agent who could possibly be that surprise, who played at Missouri under Drew Lock, that's what's really going to be able to let this offense take that next step.
Yeah, and Emmanuel Hall, they ended up moving on from him because that room is so good and so deep at the wide receiver spot. It's pretty crazy. All right, I got to go back to your offensive line stuff for a second here, okay? I want to know, if you were going to play on the outside, a tackle, what would you do if you knew that you were going to be dealing with Khalil Mack?
Number one, you definitely have to change up your sets. You've got to be aggressive, whether it's jump setting them, meeting them to the point of interception. But that's the main thing that I always tell people. When you're playing a Khalil Mack, obviously you know his speed. You have his power. You want to initiate the fight with him. And the other thing that I always tell these young guys and these younger players, when you play tackle, you can always ride the bull. If you stay inside out and stay with an inside number leverage on a defensive end, at least you have a fighting chance to run by the quarterback to where the quarterback can step up. If you don't and you get even up with him number to number, you are just setting yourself up because you're giving him a two-way go and you're letting him dictate the tempo of the football game, not you yourself.
Oh, man, I've run out of time, man. But the next time, will you come back on the show? Is that
absolutely. Absolutely. I always love calling in, like I said, to my people in Chicago and touching base with everybody. So, yeah, I would love to get on anytime you want to talk. Obviously, we have another regular season game up against the Bears in Chicago, in which I think I will be there covering the game for the Giants. So, yeah, I'm definitely more excited to get more involved with you guys. So let me know, Lawrence.
All right, no problem, because we haven't even talked about your Jays, man. We need to talk about your
Jordans. I know. How many offensive linemen from the South Side ever wear Jordans like I did playing games? I got to give credit to my man Tim Grover, who was my trainer during the offseason, who got me hooked up with Jordan and Nike to be able to do that.
Yeah, an offensive lineman wearing Jordans. Jordan cleats. You can't beat that with a stick. David, I appreciate it, man. I'll be in touch.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. And make sure you tell my man Shane Roderick and I said what's up.
All right, I can do that. That's David Deal. You can follow him on Twitter at DavidDeal66. See, I had a delightful time with him on CBS Sports Radio, and he had a delightful time with me. So I reached out. He said that, you know, he'll come on. I do know that there were some people like, wait, I got lost after someone said I got lost after he said Sam, Mike, and Will. And I know that sometimes, like, we talk in jargon and stuff needs to be explained. The linebackers have a name, even though they have, like, a real name. The strong side linebacker, the S, is for Sam. The middle linebacker, M, for Mike. And the weak side linebacker, W, for Will. And then with the 3-4, he threw in another one, Jack. So, because you have the four linebackers, so you have to, the two middle linebackers are usually Mike and Jack. Some people do Jack and Mac. Some coaches do that, but that lets you know that there's some stuff every now and again we like to throw out there just to let you know. I'm glad that he was as good as I thought he was going to be. I'm glad that we had fun on that segment, and we learned some offensive line stuff, which is super cool. What happened at Bears practice last night? Why was last night's practice maybe more valuable than tomorrow's preseason game? Mark Grody's going to join me next to explain here on The Score.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.